Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner, and I'd like to once again thank you for listening to our podcast today. Thank you also for taking this journey with us, because none of us have all the answers. We're working together, having these conversations, and trying to live by this life of a gentleman. Could you do us a favor? Would you please rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? We've already compiled many reviews, but we would love to have your feedback as well. Also, this will help us be able to reach many different individuals that have the same interest as yourself in topics just like this. Also, we want to remind you of a few upcoming projects that we have. We will be working on some new books and also some audiobooks that you'll be able to download or purchase on Amazon. And as we get further along in that process, we'll be reminding you about that and hopefully get your feedback on those as well. At this time, I'd like to welcome in my co-host to the show. And I think we're going to have some fun today, Charles. How's it going?
Oh, it is going great, Richard. You know what? And I, too, want to whet the appetite of the audience and let them know that I, too, have a book coming out entitled The Gentleman's Code.
Oh, that's going to be great. We can't wait to see what kind of information you pack into that book.
Yep. But until then, we have to wait. But we have the topic today, which is going to be fun.
Yeah. If everybody doesn't know, I'm a big sports fan. And one of the things I like to do to relax is go to sporting events. And Charles and I over the years have attended some events together. And so we thought it'd be important to talk about etiquette at a sporting event, because that's a place where you see a lot of bad manners being displayed.
Whoa. Etiquette at a sporting event? No, this is the time to be a man. This is the time to drink, get drunk, take your shirt off, write a number on your chest. This is the time to let your hair down and just be as wild as you want to be. So what you talk about etiquette?
Well, let me tell you, there's been some times when you go to a sporting event and the people around you can ruin the experience for you. I went to a championship game for my favorite college team. The experience was ruined. You know, we spent hundreds of dollars on these tickets. And here we are trying to cheer on our team, and there's fans from a rival team sitting right next to us. I had to deal with this guy. He was a heckler. He was in my face and my friend's face the whole entire night. I mean, it was ridiculous. I thought it was going to get physical. There were other fans around that were of his same team telling him to calm down, kind of pulling him away. His girlfriend was telling him to calm down. And the thing is, it just kept escalating. You know why?
Why?
He was drinking more and more. They had also snuck in alcohol into the event. And by the fourth quarter, I mean, this guy, he's fully loaded. And so that really ruined the experience that we had. And I'm sure other people have had to deal with situations just like this.
Yeah, and it makes you forget that you are a gentleman. When you have to deal with people like that, you haven't been a gentleman your whole life, and they don't know that. Like, you don't know nothing about me. You better be glad I'm living this gentleman code. And when that happens, your night can be ruined, their night can be ruined, and you can end up doing things that you normally wouldn't do just because of the situation or the atmosphere that you're in.
Yeah, that atmosphere, it kind of just can sweep you up. I'll tell you another time. I went to a Detroit Lions game. And
there
was a group of people sitting in front of us cheering for another team. And again, alcohol came into play. So I think we're starting to see a pattern here.
Oh, yes.
Now this is what happened in this situation. The guy in front of us, he began to get so drunk that he started to actually vomit and throw up. Now, you want to talk about ruining an experience for the people around us? I mean, everybody was appalled. Next thing you know, security comes over. They have to literally carry this guy. He can barely stand. They're picking him up, carrying him out. He gets away from everyone else, and the people that he's with start apologizing to us for having to see that. And then they go on to let us know, this guy doesn't have a cell phone on him, and here he is, tossed out of the stadium, downtown Detroit, no cell phone, 70,000 fans packed into a stadium. How in the world are they going to find him after the game is over?
The question is, would he even know that he's lost?
Another thing to think about.
If he's that drunk and belligerent, would he even know that he's been tossed out of a good event like that?
Yeah, security literally carried him out. And the thing is, if you haven't been to downtown Detroit, that's not the place you want to be wandering around with no cell phone and not your faculties about you.
No, you definitely do not want to be wandering around Detroit and in that situation. And if we think that this atmosphere can't affect us, let me ask you, Richard, what happens when the wave come around the stadium? What do you do?
Well, I guess it's peer pressure. Everybody does the wave. It's corny, but we all stand up and do it anyway.
You stand up and you sit down. Why? Because of the atmosphere, because of the environment. So if you think you can't be swayed on acting a certain way because you're in the environment, then you're wrong. So now we're talking about the sports etiquette. Let's get us a solution so we won't get tossed out in the middle of Detroit.
Yeah, right. Now, one of the things that I think about is we're not trying to take all the fun out of attending a sporting event. Of course, we want to be there. We want to cheer. We want to get loud. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, you don't want to be confrontational. You don't want to be getting in other people's faces that is the team rival and pointing in their face. Things like that. I mean, you see it all the time, and that's how fights break out.
Yeah, we just don't want to be rude. We don't want to be like, we hate this explanative coach. This is the worst blanking team. We don't even talk that way when we're at the house. So why won't we talk that way when we're out in public? We're losing our gentleman's code.
Yeah, and that's not the time to do that. The sad thing is, at these games, people fail to realize the children are still there. A lot of times,
yeah.
I go to the games with my kids. So
yeah.
Definitely, I want to be careful about how I'm acting. But other times, people don't think about that. They don't look around and see that the kids are looking up at the adults and saying, wow, this is how adults act? This kind of behavior? The pushing, the shoving, the aggressive nature? It's not a good look. It's not the way to show kids that's how we behave, or that's what sportsmanship is all about.
Yeah, because when they're on the team and they're down on the field playing, everything have rules. You have rules of what you can do, whether you can use your hands, whether you can or not. Everything have rules. So sometimes up in the stands, people feel that it's a no-holds barred. And whenever we see those ones, I personally think, what is that person teaching their child that's sitting right next to them? They don't even see the child cringing every time they act in a fool of themselves.
Yeah, you're right. And here's another thing that you want to be careful about. I know when I'm at home on the couch and watching a game, basketball or football, those are my favorites. Also the baseball playoffs, and things get really tense. Next thing you know, something doesn't go your way and you throw a pillow. Have you ever done that?
I can't say I did, but
all right.
Continue on.
All right. we can't prove it, but I'll admit I'm guilty. I've thrown a pillow. I've thrown a remote even. but here's where you draw the line. You don't go to a stadium and throw something on the field or the court. How many times have you seen this? I went to a game and people were throwing batteries onto the field at the football players.
I mean,
yeah, that means they premeditated this. They had this planned. They weren't just throwing cups. No, they were throwing batteries, and the game had to be stopped. It just really takes away from the atmosphere. It takes away from the event. I mean, you don't want to be there. What if somebody got hit with that? What if your kid got hit in the head with a battery that somebody else threw?
Yeah, that could be assault. That person needs to be arrested, and that person needs to be locked up, because they definitely is showing a lack of respect for themselves and for other people. You know, it was funny because I went to this one sporting event, this one stadium. I ordered a bottle of water, and I ordered a pop also too, and they didn't give me a lid. They took all the lids off of it, and they kept it. And at first I was offended. I was like, I need a lid to walk back to my feet. Like, how am I supposed to carry this? But then I started thinking about the other thousands of people there. If someone gets mad, what do they want to do, like you say?
They want to throw something.
They want to throw something on the field. So they took preventative measures by not putting tops and lids on pops or sports bottles, so that people won't be throwing things on the field, because they know that people do not have this fan etiquette.
No, you are exactly right. And I had that experience, and I was puzzled myself, because not every stadium does this. And I had a soda, and I'm wondering, how am I supposed to walk back up, you know, 200 flights of stairs to get to my seat and without spilling this drink? And I asked the people at the concession stand, and they told me the exact same thing. They said, we cannot put tops on anything because too many people are throwing it onto the field or throwing it down or at other people, and it's causing way too many problems. It's a shame that the general public has to be treated like children, simply because people have a lack of etiquette.
Yeah, and then also, too, all the litter that's left at the end of the game. Have you seen how people just toss stuff and throw stuff and spill stuff and leave stuff? Like, I was at one sporting event, and the person behind me, somebody got up from the middle, and they got up and they spilled a drink on me. It was an accident, but just think if it was on purpose. You know how mad you was? Like, you feel that wet that's coming down your back, and you're like, aww.
Right.
You talk about your experience being ruined for at least the first few minutes. But if you're caught up in that atmosphere, if you're all riled up and roaring, and that can lead to a fight, and that can lead to those couple hundred other seats being ejected from that stadium. For what? Because of an accident.
Yeah, it's sad to say that we even have to talk about this topic, but I know it's an uphill battle even talking about it, because I think I got the feeling that we're outnumbered. But all we can do is put our best foot forward, try to encourage those that are listening to just kind of think about these things when they go to sporting events. We know it's fall season, so football is in full swing, basketball is just around the corner, and baseball playoffs are getting underway. Hockey, there's so many sporting events going on right now. So we thought it'd be good just to give some reminders and let people know, as we say, there's no days off for being a gentleman. And it doesn't stop when you enter into a stadium to cheer on your favorite team.
And that is true. And here's another thing, or a tip also too. As our kids get older and they go into sports, that we've been to the high school games, and we see these parent coaches, so to speak, they're up in the ref's face, they're on their coach, they're yelling and screaming, my son didn't do this, my son is the best, my daughter is the best, my is the best kid, and they just totally acting a fool. How do you think that's being reflective on your child? You're asking your child to follow the rules when you can't even follow the rules yourself as a fan in the stands. So, like you said, we're on this journey. Don't ruin it for everyone else. Keep yourself contained within your own lane, so to speak, so that everyone can enjoy the same game and the same event as you're trying to enjoy.
Yeah, I like this one. There's a lot to think about. One thing, note to self, I'm going to work on throwing pillows and throwing remotes during this season. But at this time, why don't we get into our interview? How's that sound?
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of the Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is the Gentleman's News.
Welcome, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have a special guest that's going to be joining us. And if you haven't heard of Sharon Schweitzer, you are going to be in for a pleasant surprise. She is a etiquette and modern manners expert. She has written for the Huffington Post. She has books out. She does trainings. So we are in for a treat, and we are going to get so much knowledge and information out of this segment. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. It's a delight to be on the show with you, and I'm looking forward to this podcast. So thank you so much for your gracious invitation.
We are just so happy that you were willing to accept and come on and help us, because on this podcast, what we try to do is help everyone who listens, because we do have a lot of women listeners also, but we try to promote the thought of everyone improving themselves, and manners is a big part of that. So we're looking forward to the answers that you can give us, and hopefully steer us in the right direction. And I know that you will. So thanks once again.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So my first question, just to get the ball rolling, is exactly what is etiquette, and why is it so important for people to develop these type of skills?
Well, etiquette is about three different things, Richard. First, it's about respect, recognizing your own and another person's value. It's about consideration, which is thoughtful behavior, appreciation, and praise. And it's also about sincerity. It's about acting with integrity, tact, and honesty, and not causing someone else embarrassment.
Wow. That was pretty concise, and I've never really heard it explained quite that way.
Well, it does have a few other components, but those are the main three components of etiquette. So, you know, it also includes modern manners. That's what a lot of people call it today. It also includes the components of graciousness, which is the ability to make others feel warm and comfortable in your world. It also includes kindness, and that reflects the warmth in your heart. Those are also crucial components of etiquette. Another component is courtesy. Courteous people express empathy, and they are able to relate emotionally to the feelings of others and listen closely to what others have to say. So in other words, Richard, they use their satellite ears so they can listen well to what other people are sharing, and they don't kind of stare off into space as if to say, you know, what you're saying really doesn't have any interest to me. So that's what etiquette is. That's what modern manners are. Now, you asked me, why are these so important? Etiquette and modern manners are grounded in timeless principles. They allow us to face the future and whatever it may bring without fear, because we have strength of character and integrity. So manners are an adaptive code of behavior. They allow us to be flexible enough to respect others' beliefs, customs, philosophies, and traditions that may differ from our own. So if you have courtesy and civility, these are external expressions of humanity. They're kind of the proverbial glue that binds our societies together. And these qualities are more important today than ever before in our complex and changing world.
Now, why do you say that? Why does the changing world make a difference for this?
Because we have ever more challenging new and different things that happen and that we face every day. So if we can always go back and rely on our consideration and our integrity and our honesty, then we don't have to fear. We know that we are honest, we know we're considerate, we know we have empathy, and we know that those are things we can rely upon because we're mannerly. And so we just know that we can act without fear because we know we're courteous, we know we have empathy, and these are things that we're comfortable relying upon. And so we're comfortable around others. We don't have to have a fear of, am I going to do the wrong thing? Because we know we're not. And so we just have a comfort level around other people, and we're comfortable, very comfortable in our social skills.
That makes total sense. And when you put it that way, it's definitely something that all of us want to attain, because who wouldn't want to be more comfortable around others? I know I definitely would. But how does one develop these modern manners skills? Because we're all raised so differently. And sometimes, sad to say, parents don't instill some of these basic things into the youth today. So how do we develop these modern manners skills?
Well, you know, once again, Richard, whether you're doing a handshake or a fist bump, it's the underlying sincerity and honesty that is going to get you through. So to develop these things, I agree, it's definitely got to come from the parents. And so having been raised with parents who teach you these principles and who sit down and have dinner with the children, those things are very important, and those principles growing up are crucial. And single parents can do it. If you sit down with your child and you have a meal and you teach them table manners, that will get them so far. As a labor and employment lawyer, I practiced for 15 years, and one of the things that I routinely told many of the employers who would call me, they would say, oh, we have two really good candidates on paper. They both look fabulous, and we just can't make a decision because they've scored equally. They're from different universities. We really want to hire them both, but we only have the budget for one. And I would say, well, to break the tie, I suggest you take them both to lunch. One of those candidates is going to disqualify themselves, and they'll do it with their table manners, because you're not going to want to take them out with your clients because they're not going to know how to dine well. And sure enough, the employers would call me back and say, you were right. One of them we would not even take home for dinner.
Oh, no.
Much less out with clients. That's right. So the table manners are crucial, because you can't conduct business well and have your business flourish and have your clients around individuals who cannot eat well and dine well at the table, because people will be extremely uncomfortable around them, and they're going to dine with them. The first time will be twice. It'll be a first and a last, and then they won't do it again. And it'll be very difficult to schedule meals with that individual again. They just won't do it. But if they're fun to be around, the meal's pleasant, they have nice table manners, they will schedule so many meals. It'll be so easy to reschedule. People will be just chomping at the bit to have meals with them on a regular basis. So, you know, in fact, sometimes when you have an event, it'll be tough because there'll be so many people trying to attend that you'll have an overflow. So you really know the difference, and you can tell the difference with the ones who are having a little bit of trouble because they've got poor table manners.
Yeah, and we appreciate you giving us some real-world experience with that, because it kind of leads into the next question. We don't want this to happen to us, that example that you gave. We don't want to lose the deal, so to speak, over our table manners or something else. But what are some of the more common mistakes that you see people making these days?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I tried to limit this to five. Okay, so defaulting to the informal is number one. People using first names too fast with introductions, especially in this global world, because you don't know if someone prefers to be called by a first name or not. Depends on the country they're from. Number two, an inability to introduce a client to a boss or a colleague at work. You know, some people don't know that you use the client's name first, not the boss's name. And how do you do that? Failing to reciprocate an invitation is number three. If you're invited somewhere, you need to reciprocate that invitation and then invite that person to an event. Number four is failing to write a nice thank you note or send a thank you email to thank someone for the nice gesture they may have given you. So these are just some very common things that people fail to do.
Yeah, and like you said, it makes all the difference. I could see if you did some of those things, you would impress people. I think they would also appreciate the effort that you put forth to show them some courtesy.
Yes, and handling invitations and handling introductions appropriately is really important.
Yeah, I definitely could see that, especially in a business setting. Now, let's say someone is hearing this interview right now and they're motivated. They want to learn more and they want to improve themselves. Now, I understand that you offer training. Could you kind of let us know about this training and how it would work?
Okay, yes, I do. I do offer training. On the website, I have quite a bit of training listed. We just had a style and standards for ladies where we talk about the differences between, and we show examples of differences between professional or formal business wardrobe, business casual, casual, and then what we call dressy casual. So that's called style and standards for ladies. We do style and standards for gentlemen. We do social media in a digital world. We have, of course, modern business manners, modern dining etiquette. We also provide cross-cultural communication training. Then we do global leadership, which is very popular. And that's an inventory of 18 different traits to see how you would do if you were to be selected to be sent to an international destination. And then we work with you on a personal development plan. We also do global etiquette and international protocol training. We do modern email manners, modern telephone communication, and how to dress for success.
Wow, that's a broad range of training. And I could see how it can benefit anyone from a college student all the way up to a seasoned professional. People can benefit from these trainings, can't they?
Yes, they do. Some of the advantages of mastering modern manners and business etiquette or global leadership include better quality relationships, a lot more invitations, more fun, and definitely increased revenue. You know, a lot of people ask, what are some of the top etiquette tips for men? And, you know, a lot of times I'll say that, you know, historically men showed a lot of deference to women with many small courtesies, like opening and holding doors open for women, pulling out chairs, and walking on the street side of the sidewalk. After the women's movement in the late 20th century, some women viewed these courtesies as condescending or at the very least unnecessary. You know, what was a poor man to do? I like to call it dazed and confused. He was trapped in a double standard. A lot of people thought, well, he was a chauvinist if he opened the door, or an ill-mannered clod if he didn't. Well, as with all manners, even the common courtesies get a little makeover now and again. In this case, it wasn't the manners that changed, but who was responsible for performing them. So today, everyone agrees that holding the door open for the next person is the polite thing to do, and that all able-bodied people, regardless of gender, are the ones that open the door. However, I will tell you my top tip for men, Richard, is that on a date or within a marriage, most women and most ladies still appreciate it when a man uses traditional courtesies.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because we had a show a few weeks back where we highlighted the theme of, is chivalry dead? And we had sort of a brief debate about that. And that came up, you know, when you start opening doors for people, or it could even be your significant other, if you haven't done that before and you start implementing it, you get a lot of puzzled looks. And so we were wondering, how does one make the transition into starting to implement some of these modern manners? Will it shock those around you that aren't used to you doing those? Would you just go ahead and proceed to implement these changes anyway?
Well, you know, there's a nice way to segue into that. And I would suggest, if you're married, I would suggest that you say something like, you know, because you don't want them to wonder what's going on.
Right, right. And
is he opening the door? I would suggest that you say something like, honey, I was listening to a podcast, The Life of a Gentleman with Richard Taylor. And they were talking about this very topic. And I thought they brought up a good suggestion. And so I was wondering, what are your thoughts? You know, when we dated, I used to open the door for you. And since we've been married for X years, I kind of have stopped doing that. What would you think if I started doing it again? And just put it right out there. Because remember, one of the top three considerations and one of the top three things that comprise etiquette and manners are honesty and sincerity. So I would put it out there and say, this is what I listen to. What are your thoughts? And I think I'm a wife. I've been married 21 years. I would say, sweetheart, I love it. I think that's fantastic.
You know what, Sharon? The way that you explain that for us, I think every one of us can do that now. And I appreciate the way you tied it back into what you said at the outset of the conversation too. It goes back to honesty. Go ahead and just let them know that you'd like to implement these things and see what they think. I think you're right. I think most people would appreciate it.
I think they would too. And then, you know, she can always go listen to the podcast. You can say, honey, here's the podcast. What do you think? These are some suggestions. Because we, you know, a lot of us, and here's the other thing that I think gentlemen should know. There's a difference between social and business etiquette. In the business world, gender does not apply. So if you're in a business meeting and a lady stands up, you don't pull the chair out for her. You only do that in the social world, which means on a date or you're out to dinner with your wife. So in those instances, yes, you can stand up and pull the chair out for her, or you can stand up if she goes to the ladies' room. But that does not happen in the business world. So
those are the distinctions.
Yes, it is. It's really good to know. Now, I notice this a lot when I walk in my building in downtown Austin. When I'm going in, a lot of the gentlemen will open the door because it's a revolving door. There's a revolving door, and then there's one where you can open it. And I always thank them. I'll say, oh, thank you so much. But that's, of course, we're in the South. Mm-hmm. But I thank them, and I thank them when I'm in New York. You know, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And it varies. And some women still want to open their own door, and that's fine for them. But if you're in a business meeting, you don't necessarily want to stand up when a lady stands up to leave the room. You do that in a social situation, and it's really important to know the difference between business and social.
That's a great point to remember, too. Definitely got to make note of that. Now, Sharon, I know this interview is kind of coming to a close. We're going to wrap up soon, but I'd like to ask if you'd be willing to come back on in the future and maybe give us some of these tips from time to time. Maybe we could key in on certain subjects and you could enlighten us on those and really bring some points out that we can apply in our everyday lives. Would you be willing to come back on?
If I can add value, Richard, I would be delighted to come back on. Absolutely.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And we will look forward to that and work on getting that scheduled. But before we go today, could you let everyone know your website and maybe your social media and how they can contact you?
Yes. My website is SharonSchweitzer.com. SharonSchweitzer.com, spelled like Albert Schweitzer. And my Instagram is the same thing, Sharon Schweitzer. But my Twitter is Austin Protocol, spelled like the city of Austin, Texas, Austin Protocol. And my Facebook is Protocol_Etiquette Worldwide.
All right, perfect. So if anyone would like to learn more about etiquette or modern manners, please visit her website and also her social media so you can learn more. As we always say on The Life of a Gentleman, we are all works in progress. So Sharon, thank you for coming on and helping us as we're striving to live this life of a gentleman.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for the lovely invitation.
And we look forward to next time. Thanks again.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have a special guest. We are joined by a new voice to the podcast who will be helping us out from time to time, talking about grooming and lifestyle items. This guy is a true professional. He'll tell you a little bit more about what he does. But I'd like to welcome back to the podcast, Steve Nunez. Steve, how's it going today?
Hey, Richard, how's it going? I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. We had you on previously as an interview, and the information was so great, we wanted to have you come back and do some segments for us, so welcome back.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm super excited, man. I look forward to doing more of these things with you.
Yeah, definitely. Could you just kind of give the listeners an update on your background so they know that you definitely have the knowledge base to talk about these subjects?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a blog. It's called A Social Cook. I created the blog because my background is in hairstyling, grooming, men's grooming in particular. So when I would search stuff online, there was nothing that I found that resonated specifically for what I was looking for. And when you talk about menswear, men's fashion, it's always about clothes, never specifically about grooming. So I thought I'd start this blog and my brand, The Social Cut, to focus in more on men's grooming. And that's where I'm here today.
Oh, perfect. And I understand you also were a barber for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I was a barber. I actually still do that. I'm kind of busy with my brand stuff, but absolutely, I still get involved with that. I still do a lot of consulting work for shoots, for magazines when they need someone to do hair, that kind of stuff. So yeah, man. So definitely still involved with that, and that's my first passion. So yeah, here I am.
Yeah, perfect. So let me just go ahead and dive into things for today. What was the subject you had on your mind to enlighten us about today?
So the first thing I'd love to talk to all your listeners about is choosing the right hair product for your hairstyle.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, we haven't touched on that yet. So all the guys that are out there, let's listen up and see what we can learn. What's the first tip you have for us?
Yeah, so I just want to go over a couple of hair products. That's one of the questions I get pretty common is what type of hair product, or they ask me what type of hair product to use. So if you want to achieve a certain hairstyle, obviously the haircut you choose is pretty important, but also the hair product you choose. Because if you don't have the right hair product, then you can't achieve the hairstyle that you want to get. So the first one I want to go over is pomades. So pomades are best used for pompadours, side parts, comb overs, if you're trying to achieve a clean cut look. I prefer pomades over gels because if you use a gel, you get that really crispy look and no one really likes that style. And the other thing with gels, it's really bad for your hair. It dries it out because gel contains a lot of alcohol, so alcohol dries out your hair. So you want to stay away from that. A good alternative is a pomade. It gives you that hold, a nice natural shine versus gels. So definitely use a pomade if you're trying to achieve those, you know, pompadour, side part, comb over, or overall clean cut look for your hairstyle.
Oh, that's good. The difference there between the pomades and the gels, you made some great points that I never really thought about, like the alcohol drying out your hair. That's not a good look, is it?
No, not at all, man. So yeah, definitely stay away from that. That's kind of like the first product for people, you know, growing up a few years ago, gel was pretty, I mean, everyone used it. So now pomades are better to use than gels overall. So
yeah. Now when you're applying the pomade, is there a suggested rule how much you should apply, or would it matter from product to product?
Well, for pomades, it just depends on the length of your hair. Obviously, if you have longer hair, you know, maybe 2 inches or longer, you kind of want to use more, maybe a larger size than a quarter size amount. If it's something shorter, then, you know, maybe a dime. And I like to just apply little by little, and that way you kind of get a feel for it. Otherwise, you know, you don't want to put on too much, you know. So
yeah, I can see a disaster happening if you go in and overdo it right from the jump. No, that's good. That's good. What's the next one you have for us?
So the next one I have are forming and shaping creams. So these type of hair products, they're good for a natural hairstyle. So if you're looking for something not shiny or something that's a lot softer, or just a natural look, you want to stick with forming and shaping creams. So the forming and shaping creams versus the pomades, you won't get a shine. It's a lot softer. So if you put it on throughout the day, it gets softer and softer. So it's almost as if you're not wearing any hair product, but you still have some control to your hair. Some of the products that I like using for the forming and shaping cream, it's American Crew Forming Cream, the Baxter of California Cream Pomade, and the Tea Tree Shaving Cream by Paul Mitchell. So those are some of my favorite forming and shaping creams.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for letting us know the brands too, because a lot of times people will email with questions, and I'm sure that will be one of the questions that they're going to ask. So thanks for covering that too. What are some of the other options that are out there for guys?
Yeah, so my last suggestion for the guys out there listening are fibers and clays. So these work best for short hairstyles. If you're looking for that messy hair, that bedhead hairstyle, you want to choose fibers and clays. So these have a stronger hold than tea tree shaving cream or any other type of texturizing cream that's soft. So this still gives you that natural look, but it has a lot more texture, so it gives you that chunky hairstyle when you apply it to your hair. And this, you just really have to use a small amount and just make sure you spread it around your hands, because otherwise it's going to clunk up, and it's, once you put that on, it clunks up. Pretty much have to wash your hair out again and start all over. But yeah, I mean, my favorite brands for the fibers and clays would be, again, American Crew is one of my favorites. It's American Crew Fiber, Paul Mitchell Material, and Johnny B. Clash. So these are all great brands, and I mean, I'm always constantly trying new hair products, so I've tried all these and they all work really good, you know, especially because people have different type of hair texture, so you just have to find the right one that works for you. But these are definitely a good place to start.
Okay, yeah, those are a good starting point, like you said. So would you recommend, when people are trying these different products, would you say they should maybe start with a sample, or should they go ahead and just make a purchase? I mean, how expensive are some of these products that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great suggestion. Is if you are able to get a sample, definitely go with the sample. But it's a little hard to get a sample unless you're at some type of show where the brand is there handing out samples. That's probably the only way you'll be able to get a sample. I mean, if you can get a hold of the company and have them send you a product, yeah, definitely, you know, as a sample, that's a good idea. But for me, I mean, there's no way around it. I just go to, you know, my local store and just buy the product, try it out. So I have a drawer full of hair products. But yeah, if you can get a hold of a sample, definitely do that.
Yeah, and then when you find one that works, I guess that's the one you kind of stick with, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you find something that works, definitely stick with it. If you're planning to change your hairstyle, then that's when you start trying different hair products, you know, because again, it's different hair products achieve different hairstyles, and you know, the length of the hairstyle, the way you comb it, you want to take that into consideration when you're choosing a hairstyle or a hair product.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now, I wanted to just ask you a question before you get to your next tip. You mentioned some things to avoid, like alcohol drying out your hair. Would there be anything else that you would maybe caution us to stay away from?
I would, again, caution you guys to stay away from gels or just anything that contains a lot of alcohol, because that dries out your hair. I do suggest some items for you to help keep your hair healthy. Definitely, if you use a lot of pomade or just in general any of these products, you want to buy a clarifying shampoo. So you want to apply that maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. That's stronger than your regular shampoo. So what that does is it helps clear out all the gunk, any residue left from the hair products, to kind of, you know, start your hair fresh again when you're applying the hair products. So that's some pretty hard stuff. So you, again, just apply it, use it maybe once or twice a week. Make sure you guys use conditioner. Definitely use hair conditioner. Don't use a 2-in-1 stuff. Guys are lazy, so I know they got to buy the 2-in-1 stuff. I used to do that. So
yeah,
definitely buy your shampoo and a conditioner, and yeah, you'll keep your hair looking good and healthy.
Oh, that sounds good, man. Those are some great tips. So we can't be lazy anymore. Steve just removed that from our equations. Thanks for clarifying that for us.
Now, no problem.
Did you have any other tips before we close out this segment?
Again, guys, just make sure you guys find a product that you guys like. Don't be afraid of trying new stuff. And if you guys need any other tips, you guys can check me out on my blog, thesocialcut.com. And I'm always having some new tips on my YouTube channel. You guys can check me out on The Social Cut. That's my YouTube channel. And of course, you guys can check me out for more tips on my social media. You guys can check me out at The Social Cut. And make sure you guys have any questions, let me know, man.
Hey, Steve, we really appreciate you coming on. Would you be willing to come back again and give us some more tips on a different subject?
Yeah, absolutely, Richard. I'm looking forward to it. I love doing this kind of stuff. And any way I can help my fellow gents, I'm happy to do it.
All right. We appreciate it as well. And so we'll look forward to next time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Richard. Thanks a lot.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast for the week. We had a great discussion at the beginning where we talked about how you should behave yourself as a gentleman when attending a sporting event. We know it's that time of year where sports are in full swing, so we always want to remember that being a gentleman, we have no days off. Next, I'd like to send a special thank you to Sharon Schweitzer for coming on and talking to us about modern manners and etiquette. She has such a vast array of knowledge, and it was a pleasure speaking to her and getting her perspective and her insight on how we can all present ourselves as gentlemen. And also we learned there are many benefits to doing so. Lastly, I'd like to thank Steve Nunez for coming back on, talking to us about hair care products and how to get different styles for different hair types. We hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Life of a Gentleman. And if you are a new listener, we appreciate you tuning in. And if you're an old listener, we certainly appreciate you as well. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us to reach other people that are interested in this type of information. Before I go, I want to give one last special thank you to our producer, who does a wonderful job editing the podcast and getting it set for us. We thank you as well. Until next time, we look forward to another exciting discussion. If you have any questions between now and then, please, as always, email us podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. And as a special added bonus for those listening, I'd like to present you with a 50% off coupon for Harrison Blake Apparel, where you can save on neckties and accessories. That's right, that was 50% off coupon with the code at checkout, WTFIFTY. Until next time, everyone, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.